Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 26 for January 22nd, 2006. Strawberry iPods forever. MacBreak Weekly is on the air. I am Leo Laporte. Joining me are esteemed panelists, starting with Merlin Mann from 43 Folders, who came all the way from uptown to be here today.
Came all the way from the west side of San Francisco to the regular part of San Francisco. How's it going, Leo?
Good, Merlin, man. Say hi to Scott.
You sound a little sick.
I'm a little sick. We've got the Toronto flu, both Alex and I. It was cold and nasty there, wasn't it, Alex?
It was cold, and I think somehow we got the cold.
Up
something. There was something going around the studio, and we picked it up.
Yeah, everybody was sick. And, you know, it's because there was a little grieving going on. It was the last week in Toronto for Call for Help, and I think that's part of it. Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Corps is here. He is in his own offices, so he didn't go anywhere. And the guy who came the longest, so you get the tote bag for this show, Mr. Scott Bourne, drove all the way from Medford to be with us today.
Yes.
Thank you, Scott Bourne.
Medford is a wonderful place to be from.
That's in Oregon. You're in Seattle.
I'm in Gig Harbor.
Gig Harbor. I always, when you, Gig Harbor's in Washington State, but it sounds like it should be Maine. I'm in Gig Habit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's actually, in fact, if you were to drive your boat into Gig Harbor, you might think you're in Maine, except for the giant Mount Rainier in the background.
I have a new goal in life.
What's that?
And I'm going to come up and visit you in my boat. I'm going to buy a trawler. I talked to Dick DiBartolo's a boat guy, and I said, I want a boat. And I told him all the things I want. He said, oh, you want a trawler? Because they only go.
A Boston trawler?
A Boston trawler. They only go 8 knots.
Nice.
They're very wide. They sleep like, you know, two or three couples. And I'm going to come up. I'm going to come up to Gig Habba in my Boston trawler.
You are welcome to use my slip.
You have a slip?
Your bar? I do.
Okay. Anybody want to just supply a slip joke, just go ahead and do that.
Here, I set everybody up, okay? I mean, I handed you a softball. Now, what are you going to do with it?
He caught us off guard.
The slip is showing. Do you have anything in your slip right now?
Negative. The happiest day of my life was when I sold my boat.
It was just a hole in which you poured money. Is that it?
Well, it's very romantic to get a boat until you find out you got to pay some schmo named Joe $5,000 a month to keep it looking good and acting good and running good. Yeah. You got to paint it all the time. You got to scrape the barnacles off. And oh my gosh, it's just a whole lot easier.
What kind of boat did you have?
I had a Chris Craft.
Oh yeah, you had a nice boat, fast boat.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, here's the thing. I rent boats.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I should do that.
I would certainly recommend renting one for a while, but I will tell you that a Boston trawler is a very nice boat.
Yeah, they're wide. I'm going to get it like a Nordic tug.
Yeah. We could actually set up a recording studio in there, and then, of course, we'd have to replace it every 6 months because of the salt water. But other than that, it'd be cool.
I'm thinking I'm going to go down to Tierra del Fuego. My Boston trawler. And I want to be
it now.
If we could use this access thing, I could be able to do the show from anywhere.
Right.
It would be so cool.
Either that or Skype from Pierre, wherever you're going to go.
Tierra del Fuego, my friend.
Oh, yeah, that place.
I can't believe you didn't talk about this last week. I'm going to bring it up. It's kind of old news, but Apple made a little bit of money. Almost $1 billion this last quarter. Not so bad, huh?
$1 billion.
With apologies to Dr. Evil.
Yeah, they did okay.
They made they sold 21 million iPods.
Oh my gosh.
21 million iPods.
As an Apple shareholder, all I can say is that this might be appropriate time for a moment of silence and thanks.
Yeah, you're both. you. We should full disclosure here. I do not.
No, okay.
Apple stock.
I need to be more
Alex
accurate
owns
about it.
Apple stock.
I own virtual Apple stock. I really don't own Apple stock. I refer to it that way because I've said it in earlier ones. I actually just have like Play stock.
Oh, you actually don't own any Apple stock.
I actually don't own stock.
So only Scott here owns Apple stock.
I don't own stock in any company because Yeah, well, we won't get into them.
You're
into
poor.
No, I just don't. I don't really like the stock market. But the worst part is like I'm slaughtering in my little virtual world. I'm slaughtering the market.
Who else did you buy with your phony money?
I got Apple, NVIDIA, ATI, Adobe, Pixar. But I bought Apple at like 11. So now I really wish I had used Bill Gates.
Hey, I bought Google at 5 in my imagination.
You guys got to help me out here. Because, see, I have a real broker, and I call him, and he takes money out of my checking account. Yeah. How do you buy stock?
In our imaginations.
No, there's a thing called marketocracy that you can go up and you can actually set up your own little fund.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
you can do it all.
See
and
how
just,
it's doing.
It just then it sends you this email and you can look back over your last, you know, whatever. You know, I think my portfolio is running about 30-35% a year, you know.
Alex,
and,
you don't have a portfolio.
It's phony portfolio.
My virtual portfolio
because so
it
shows
it keeps track of it all so you can watch it all
so
and
pathetic.
You can sit there and
is this anything like my make-believe girlfriend on Battlestar Galactica?
It's very, very similar.
It's fun. It's fun. But it takes you through all the things that you would do except for the actual money part. And and it was, you know, because it was just one of those things
would
that
you start
I
started this
I'd
in 12th
with.
Grade. What's the deal? I don't understand.
Well, like I started it like 3 or 4 years ago. I haven't really done with much with it. I change the stocks every once in a while, but I bought a bunch of stuff, and every once in a while I put something else in the portfolio.
Actually, Apple stock was off a little today. I think there's a little profit taking. They've sold now. This is amazing. Besides selling 21 million iPods this quarter, I think they've now sold 90 million. Is that right? Wait a minute. Let me check that again. Let me check that number again. 90 million iPods since they went on sale in October 2001. Is that mind boggling? Is that more
I
people
have
there? Yeah, that's why you can't buy just one. They're like Lay's potato chips.
No, they are. I mean, I just keep on buying, you know, as they release them, I buy them. That's what I do.
By the way, computer sales did well, too. I mean, I know Apple dropped computer from its name, but Mac sales rose 40%, $2.5 billion in revenue. Mac shipments up 28%. I don't understand why the sales were so much higher than the shipments. Double the growth of the, now this is the key one, double the growth of the overall PC market. Now, maybe PC folks are just waiting for Vista. But it was a very good quarter if you're a Macintosh fan.
I think that the ability to run both Windows and OS X makes a big difference, you know, for a lot of people. And I think that that's what's pushing the Mac sales harder. I know a lot of people who used to, you know, still want to use their PC, but have always wanted to have OS X as well.
Get ready for this. I'm doing Regis and Kelly next week, and they never want me to show computer stuff. They want me to show Parallels.
Yep.
Oh my God!
They don't usually even let me show a computer, but they want me to show Parallels. I think that there is that just shows you that the general audience is kind of grokking that you can run Mac and Windows on OS OS X and Windows on a Mac.
And the funny part that we talked about this a bit before, but I think the funny part that people are going to realize is that they're going to find that once they're used to OS X and they get over that hump of just not being on Windows. That they're going to see there's a lot that they didn't even realize they were going to be able to do transparently. So that becomes like a maybe even like a security blanket to just know that the Windows.
That's what
is there
it is. They'll stop using Windows, I think. Don't you think?
Oh, and I use Windows occasionally, like when we got the Juiced. You know that you still have
you
to
have
over
to have
that.
Windows for Juiced.
And it was nice. Yeah. It was nice. I just reboot and
did Juiced run on Parallel? Oh, you did Boot Camp.
Boot Camp. So yeah. I restarted and it worked just fine. But I think that having that, it's just such a luxury for me, a 30 gigabyte luxury, which I'm always complaining about, but a luxury to be able to just switch over if you absolutely need to do that. And I think that a lot of people are looking at that, even if they're PC users. I mean, a lot of people that I talked to that had PCs that were in the media field really saw this as a time when they upgraded the next time that they just bought one just because they could go both ways.
So is this incredible quarter for Apple a bellwether? Is this the way it's going to be now? Is Apple... You know, surging ahead.
Their 1 year target estimate price is $112.32, which is way more over than my prediction of $100. So I think that's a safe bet.
But they're
way
down off $100. You know, they're at $86.79.
Well, I know. But let's get in perspective. Their 52-week run is anywhere between $50 and $97. So a year ago they were $50. Today they're $86.79. Yeah. But let's look at an important number, and that's market cap. Microsoft's market cap is $302 billion. And Apple's is $75 billion. So most people think of Microsoft being a lot larger than Apple, even larger than that ratio, and with the ability to...
Well, it is four times bigger.
Right, but most people, if you ask them, Leo, think it's 40 times bigger.
Yeah.
when they find out it's not. And here's another thing for those that follow this stuff. The P.E. ratio is 31:45 on Apple. It's only 24:56 on Microsoft. People believe a little bit more in Apple.
Actually,
Apple's
P.E. is now up to 38.
Okay, well, so, last number I got is 31:45.
Yeah, so
but
it's
anyway.
Gone up quite a bit. I mean, that's because of this new profit. Now, if you just want to look at other PC companies, you know, Apple, its market cap's doing quite well. I mean, IBM's 146 billion, but it's right up in there.
Yeah, and I think that's a reflection on the ability to start to penetrate the Windows market. So that's why this stuff is important. Not that I'm ever going to use it, but I think it's important.
Hewlett-Packard's 114 billion. I'm just looking at market caps here. Dell's about the same as Apple, 55 billion.
And I think you're right. There was some profit taking here when they started bumping up around. And it's always psychological. The $100 mark is psychological.
That's right.
Once it hits that, it'll just go.
Right, right. People say, okay. Yeah,
well, split it.
Yeah, that's my prediction. Remember, that was
a
my
split
New Year's
coming.
Prediction.
Right. You know, Apple, the rumor is, according to Apple Insider, that Apple is going to have a Super Bowl ad. According to, actually, Toronto Sun says, citing sources with knowledge of the product, that the Beatles will be available on Apple's iTunes store as soon as next month, and people think that that's what the Super Bowl commercial is going to be. It's a special announcement on the Super Bowl on Sunday. You think that's what the announcement is?
Well, we saw the use of the Beatles during the keynote.
Yeah, he kind of grinned a little bit when he did that, and I was looking at everybody saying, he's playing Sgt. Pepper, you know. There's the album art. Where'd he get it?
I think that makes more sense than an iPod. I mean, I think if they'd had an iPod ready, I'm guessing we would have heard about it.
I don't know if we would have. I think that there's a possibility that we may see. I think that they put all that work into that widescreen format. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't release it. They've got to do a widescreen iPod like that.
So the story in the Toronto Sun said Valentine's Day, because the Beatles album is called Love, that would be a suitable time to release the Beatles CDs. February 4th, of course, is Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe February 4th you announce, you know, Valentine's Day, the Beatles come to iTunes and you'll have a new way to play them? You wouldn't do it in a Super Bowl ad, would you? Is that the way to announce it?
Which part? The Beatles or the iPod?
Well, the Beatles is a given. We know they're doing that. I'm talking about the iPod.
Yeah, I think the iPod makes more sense than the Beatles. I mean, I'm not that. I guess if I saw an ad that said the Beatles were now available on.
You might say, you mean they weren't?
You might say, well, I mean.
Huh?
And I have to admit, I own all the Beatles CDs, and I have them all digitized already. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people, because if they were going to buy them, you know,
somebody was saying to me, this is going to be maybe it was you, Scott Bourne, who said that this is going to be a whole new generation discovering the Beatles.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and I talk to young people all the time that don't really know who they are. Yeah. So once it shows up in iTunes, it's real. And since they'll make such a big deal of it, it's not like you'll have to search for Beatles. It'll be all over the front page of the iTunes.
I'm kind of with Alex, though, that if the average guy, think of the average Joe Blow sitting there watching the Super Bowl, and the ad comes on and says, good news, the Beatles are now available on iTunes. He's going to say, huh?
Okay, how about this? Here you go. It's going to be a Beatles touchscreen iPod.
Special. Oh, you're right. A special
Beatles.
Like the Bono one.
I'm not done. It's an iPod. It's a special edition Beatles iPod. Plus, it's a new remastered version of the albums coming out.
You got it.
That's going to be it.
Well, in fact,
because the remastering thing is so hot right now to get people.
No, George Martin has been doing it. George Martin said that
George Martin's son has been worked on that Love thing.
And Martin said, our first priority, we're going to do this Cirque du Soleil Love soundtrack. We're going to do that. Then we are going to remaster all the Beatles, and we will put them on. He said this months ago. We will put them online. There, you hit it. You know what? You got it, Merlin. It's a special Beatles edition iPod.
That's amazing. Just 45 seconds ago, that was in my butt. And now it's a prediction, and it's out there.
Silent but deadly, Merlin, ladies and gentlemen.
You think that's even conceivably possible?
Absolutely.
They got the U2 one.
You did it.
Right?
You got it. You totally got it.
You're selling past the clothes.
You totally got it. You're selling past the clothes, dude. You had me at iPod.
And there is one thing you left out, though. It'll have a little green apple on the back.
Oh, there is one little detail. This lawsuit thing. Yeah. That's a good point. But maybe that's how they settled a lawsuit.
Yeah.
We'll make a special Beatles iPod. We'll give you 10% of the profit.
Oh, that's good.
I'm liking this more and more.
That's what I call a good negotiation. That's like
that, that would be a Super Bowl announcement.
That would be a Super Bowl announcement. And wouldn't you run to the store and buy it?
Yeah.
I would, especially if it looks like the iPhone.
Would it come with all the Beatles out? Would, whoa,
as long as it was black. You know, this whole red thing. I mean,
it wouldn't be red. Red's
good.
Well, the thing is, the big thing would be for them to put out all of the UK edition of all of the albums at one time. You don't want to start with like Please Please Me. Like that's
no. It should be the original definitive albums. You're right. The UK albums.
Yeah.
Hey, they could make it white, like the White Album.
It's not that many albums, right? I mean, it's fewer albums than U2.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean,
many songs. Oh, well,
that'd be pretty
Merlin,
cool.
Man.
I would enjoy that.
Oh,
yeah.
Let me just write this down. Mark this 1:22 at 4:41 p.m. Merlin Mann made the definitive prediction.
Leo, you were in Toronto last week, but I have sworn off prognostication. My predictions are so bad and so off target.
Merlin, I think you got it.
All right.
Well, I was the one who said Leopard was going to ship it at Macworld. I mean, please.
Yeah, and I
and I was the one that said they were going to announce the iPhone.
Shut up. I'm sick of the iPhone. And I'll tell you something. I'm not buying the iPhone because he's not allowing third-party apps on the iPhone. Steve Jobs has screwed the pooch. He's in bed with Singular. And
can we just calm down 1 second?
That
here?
Was a mistake.
Oh, look who's talking people off the ledge now.
Now listen. I mean, what version of the iPod are we on?
It's a huge mistake.
But when Jobs says, oh, no, we want to preserve the integrity of the Singular network and having people put their own applications could be terrible. That's what Western Electric said when you used to have to rent your phone from them.
Leo, there was a survey done and asked how many people actually put applications on their so-called smartphones. It's like 7%. Come on.
I think that 7% of all cell phones.
Where did
users,
you come up with that number?
I pulled it right out of your butt.
Anybody who has a trio.
That's why I feel so relaxed now. I don't know if I buy that at all. I mean, the part that we talked about this, I think, what I can remember of the 21st Amendment evening, but I think we talked about this a little bit. The big missing opportunity here is for all these Apple developers who potentially would have the chance to get their amazing application in front of all these people who think they hate Macs.
Oh, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
It's a version one app, you guys.
I would say that except for all this lip service to Singular. By the way, I was told that if you go in a T-Mobile store and say, are you guys going to have the Apple phone? They said, oh, yeah, no problem. We'll have it. You know, the FCC requires.
Meta vaporware.
I think you'll be able to how to unlock it. It'll become unlocked and people will be selling it all over the place. You won't get that Singular voicemail thing.
Well, you guys feel free to sell it short and let me know when you're good.
I'm buying a Prada phone. I'm buying the LG KE850. That is
how much
a beautiful
is that puppy?
Phone. Who cares? It's better than an iPhone. It looks just like
it'll match your shoes.
It looks just like an iPhone, though. Of course, and that's what everybody's saying is, hey, wait a minute. Did Apple steal their design from LG?
It seems very
highly unlikely.
More than likely that LG stole the design from Apple.
That seems unlikely too. I mean, how would they do that fast?
Well, there was a lot of patent stuff that had come out of what Apple was applying. So months ago,
we started seeing
patent office.
Apart from a black phone
else.
That doesn't have buttons, though, how is it the same? I mean,
I'm reading from the LG press release. Glowing icons on the face of the phone disappear when not in use to reveal a pure, unadulterated black exterior. The phone is ultra thin, just 12 millimeters. Nevertheless, I'm sounding like the guy at the Haunted Mansion. There are no windows.
Your ghost host.
No doors. Nevertheless, it hosts an array of additional multimedia functions, MP3 player, music multitasking for messaging, external memory slot, which the iPhone lacks, starting at 600 euros. So that's very expensive.
I think without the issue with a lot of these phones, I still think it is going to be without being connected to iTunes, they're going to have a hard time. That's the killer app right now.
I think nobody. I don't think people listen to music on their phones, and I don't think even with the iPhone they will.
Not on 5 hours of battery life.
I think that's red herring. I don't think people really want music on their phones.
I don't see myself carrying both my video iPod and my phone around. What I've been wanting is to have both of those one thing. And so as soon as I get that, I don't see myself carrying both of them around anymore. I think that it'll just be the thing that I carry.
Why don't you have like your imaginary stocks? You could have an imaginary iPod.
I'll think about that.
They sell 12 kabillion of these things. You mark my words. They're,
kabillion?
People will complain.
How many zeros are in kabillion?
A bunch.
All of them.
People will complain. Okay, I'll make a more realistic number. They will sell 98 octillion.
Well, wait a minute. There are only 60 million singular customers, so I think we have a ceiling here.
Well, it's interesting. I've been watching all the traffic on the forums as, you know, you have the distortion field fade away and then everyone starts to attack. But I remember some of these conversations right after the iPod was launched and right after the Mac was launched.
Okay.
And everybody was like, oh, nobody will ever buy that.
You remember back to 1984?
I'm old, Leo.
You remember when the Mac was launched? What did people say when the Mac was launched?
They were saying, who would want to buy an ugly computer like that and it doesn't run any good software?
Actually, they were right. It was $2,500. It had one floppy disk drive that held 400K.
And how many Macs have been sold since?
Well, that's right. So you're saying this is like the first Mac.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the first iPod. It's like the first Mac. Everybody's going crazy about, oh, it doesn't do this, it doesn't do that. Well, if we were looking at the first Mac or the first iPod, we'd have lots of negative things to say. But yet, you know, these are just revs. You go through rev after rev, and all of a sudden you got something the whole world wants. I think if you look at this as a 1.0 app, it's pretty darn good right out of the gate, and I'm sure that they will address some of these things as they go, and I'm going to be very happy to have the 1.0 version and the 1.1 and the 1.2 and all the way up to version 99.
One of the things I think that's important also is that, you know, for whatever Apple's doing to get the deal with Singular, the interesting thing about having an OS X or OS X-like operating system is, of course, there's lots of things that can be changed without you having to change the phone. So what features are limited and what features are not limited is a malleable thing a year or two into the system. And I think Apple doesn't have a lot of leverage until they have 30 million phones out there, and then they have a lot of leverage.
And Gruber pointed out, even though it may not, Cocoa may not be open to developers on the outside, it still will be available to developers on the inside. And that's a lot to do something with, even if you're just having internally developed apps.
All right.
I think we should, since we've started this conversation, I think we should all make a prediction by the end of the year. How many do we think are going to, how much do each of us think are
Apple? Well, no. Now, is Scott allowed to do one of those Brian Epstein things where he goes out and buys a bunch of copies to make the stock go up? Speaking of the Beatles.
So, Scott, what's your magic number for 2007?
Okay, what did Jobs predict they would sell?
10 million by 2008. They didn't say, he had said 2008, not 2007.
By the end of this year.
They will sell the 10 million he predicted by 2008. I predict they will sell it by 2007.
You're so crazy. What are you smoking? They'll have sold 2 million at best by the end of 2007. At best.
Yeah, really? I'm the guy who told you to short everybody on the day of the announcement.
Merlin, what's your prediction?
What did that cost you, Leo?
What's yours, Alex?
I don't buy stock.
No, it's your turn. It's your turn.
I like going last. When the price is right, then you can say,
I know.
$1.
See, I was gonna do 11. I was going to do 11 million.
11 million?
See, I was just going to say one.
No, yeah. I'm going to say 18 million.
18? Wait a minute. Let's clarify
if
this
I'm smoking
time frame.
Something, if I'm smoking something, Alex is growing it.
I'm growing it, man. I say 18 million.
The phone comes out in June, okay? Maybe.
Yep.
Maybe
and
later.
We're talking June
through December, right?
In six months, they're going to say 18 million.
They made 12 million, supposedly, according to Han Ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ho. the Taiwanese guys, Han Ho, Ho Ho Na Ha.
Hey, I'm calling it.
They made 12 million, but they're going to sell 18 million. Okay.
I think they can make more. You know, there's this thing called a factory.
They could make more.
And I think they're gonna make
contracted for 12. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm saying 18.
And that's the only reason.
I'm writing this down.
Okay. I'm not saying that they'll ship 18 million. I'm saying that they'll sell 18 million.
Wait a minute. You mean like people are going to sell it? They're going to sell it to them, and then some dime in late 2009, they're going to get them?
I think people are going to be on wait lists.
Okay. Wait list. You think it'll be wait
lists? Already are on wait lists. People are already prepaid.
Yeah, they are.
Available.
But I'm saying that once it's available, I think they'll sell it.
So, Scott, you said 10 million by the end of the year.
By December 31st.
Okay. Alex said, what did you say? 20 million?
18. I didn't say 20. 20 is way too high.
I said 2 million. And Merlin, how many?
780 million.
You're doing the old Price is Right thing, right?
No, see, that's why I wanted to go $1. Yeah, no, I have no idea. I mean, they'll sell out of what they've got. Scott has to, you know, pick up every last one of them. You say they're going to make $12 million in this.
That's
first
what
run.
They've supposedly, the according to Han Ha Ho Ho, they've contracted
the
for that
6 months between a notional June release and the end of the year. Is that the question, or, yes. or over
that's
the life
the
of
question.
The phone?
No, no. That's...
Rev 1, 6 months. How many do they sell?
Yes.
780 million.
Okay. He's deflecting us with humor, ladies and gentlemen.
No, no. I have, you know, I, how would I have any way of knowing?
That's
I don't
the
know.
Point.
I don't,
none
I don't
of
even
us
have,
know.
I don't even have fake stock. I don't even have fake stock like Alex.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to go with, has anybody done 20 yet?
Nobody's done 20. You would be the top. You would be the most.
That's the most, huh?
Yep. Alex only went 18, and we mocked him for that. I got to warn you.
And there's 60. How many people subscribe via Singular right now?
There's 60 million.
60 million.
60
that
million.
Number is
miserable.
That number is utterly irrelevant.
60 million mm-hmm. miserable Singular customers.
21 million.
That is
21
that is,
million.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
So, Leo, did you ever think that I would be conservative in this group?
You are.
This
you and I are closer than Merlin and Alex. I is underselling it, but I don't think they're going to do nearly as well, and I certainly don't think they're going to sell out in the first 6 months.
And you didn't
really
think they were going to be announced either, did you?
Well, no, I didn't ever. I never said they wouldn't announce the iPhone. I thought it was pretty likely they would.
Let me ask you this. So we talked about this just a bit last week, but so you know, the thing I was ribbing Scott about for the longest time was that it seemed like he wanted whatever an iPhone was, regardless of what it was.
He just wanted the name.
So, I mean, I think we need to call up something that we said last week. This is still vaporware. This is announced hardware that we've seen some kind of supposedly working demo of. Now, the question is, of the things that were announced in there and in the flavors that were announced, we're saying we think it's going to sell X number of units based on what they announced. Features that were announced.
Yeah. We're giving Apple credit for actually delivering on what they announced.
Let me ask you this, Leo. Would your number change if they decided between now and then that something along the lines of, let's say, dashboard or a certification program
came along, would
that change it for you?
Yeah, two things would change it for me. Third-party apps and a lower price would change it.
So you think they
me.
Should have multiple models, maybe?
I think the price is a little steep. You know, if this is the thing that's not completely clear, it sounds like the price is including Singular's two, because you have to sign up for 2 years. And so
that's where I think everybody's missing the ball. I hear everybody screaming about the phone, but as I understand it, the intent was to deliver a 2-year contract with that, and at that price, we're now cooking with gas.
No. You don't. That's not no. No, the standard for when you say a cell phone price, you say the price and it's contingent on signing up for a contract, usually for 1 or 2 years. 2 has become the kind of standard. So that's the subsidized price. Is $600. That's kind of a high subsidized price. It means the actual price of the phone could well be over $1,000.
I heard a rumor, though, that they were going to include some service, Leo. That's the rumor I heard.
No, that's somebody who misunderstood what that's.
Well, if you heard a rumor.
Must be true. No.
Well, we do things on this show all the time based on
rumors.
Oh,
yeah. We don't have to have any journalistic.
I heard Ringo is actually going to bring the phone to your house.
I'd like to give you an iPhone.
And then he's going to play the solo from the end. Right there in your house.
I just love this. You guys, you just keep saying your nays because I'll just be sitting over here with.
They're not going to give you. Singular ain't going to give you anything for free. In fact, that's the other thing that is going to be a very big question mark. Singular is actually fairly expensive for data plans. How much is it going to cost to use the iPhone, let alone buy the iPhone? I think this is a rich man's toy, and I don't see it being a mass product.
I have to admit that I don't really think of myself using that the edge network at all. I mean, I have to admit that I'm just around Wi-Fi enabled areas 90%.
Yeah, you're
of my
in
life.
A big city. So, you're in San Francisco now. You have free Wi-Fi.
Well, every Starbucks.
Google.
I walk into any Starbucks.
Have you used the new Google Wi-Fi? Because that's isn't that any minute now?
It's sometime this year.
Oh, okay. But so you'll be able to go anywhere in San Francisco. Since you don't have a car, you're stuck there.
But he does have a really nice nav unit, Leo.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
You have a GPS, but you don't have a car?
Yeah, but when I'm walking around, I'm never lost.
It's my favorite bit of Alex trivia.
No, I have a GPS because I spend a lot of time in L.A.
Alex,
and
you are such
a
weird person.
I got...
You really are. You're just strange.
He doesn't have a TV.
But he works in a studio full of TV equipment.
He has an imaginary portfolio. He has no car, but he has a GPS. And
it's going to me like there's something wrong with me.
I spend half of the month traveling, and I'm in cities that I don't spend a lot of time in, and so
that makes sense.
GPS works with my trio. And
so
how's that
TomTom work down there in Zimbabwe?
The TomTom doesn't work at all in Zimbabwe. We won't get into that.
Well, you get a GPS signal, but there's just no maps, right?
It just doesn't know. It just says you're here, and it's just like
that's because there's no
roads. There's plenty of roads. But anyway, so I got lost in L.A. one time and ended up in Compton in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's not good.
So I bought a GPS.
Yeah.
So
that's a good reason to buy a GPS.
So that's why I have a GPS on my thing, and I'd love to see one. I think that's going to be kind of exciting. Is a GPS product built for? And I think we're going to see a lot of developers developing stuff for the iPhone. What Apple's basically saying is they're going to be the gateway, at least at the beginning.
I think
we'll be able to partner with them, and they will be able to sell it. It'll be sold through Apple, and it'll be sold. But there will be individual developers developing for the iPhone. That's my big procrastination.
Don't forget that dock port there. they can attach all kinds of goodies to that thing, and Apple makes money on everything that goes on that port.
All right.
I think it's enough for the iPhone.
Can I change my guess to 5,000?
5,000? No, there you go.
He goes from 21 million to 5,000.
I just feel I'm very certain it'll be somewhere between 5,000.
So Apple's going to make a little bit of money, $1.99, on all of those folks who have Core 2 Macintoshes and want to upgrade to N. Apple says it's because of accounting. We've already booked the revenue for those new MacBook Pros and MacBooks. And if we're going to upgrade the chip to N, we've got to charge you $1.99 so that we can keep the books straight. Wall Street Journal says that's hooey.
Yeah, but the Wall Street Journal isn't the one that has to deal with the SEC if it turns out in 10 years that someone decides that it's not the right way to handle it. I mean, that's the problem.
It isn't like a big amount of money. I mean, it's not. If they were charging $15, I might be a little more suspicious.
I just don't think that there's any reason that Apple would charge it just to make a little extra money because it's such rough PR. If they think that this is an issue, I mean, I do believe that that's. I don't know whether it's valid or not, but I do believe that their legal team is saying. And it doesn't have to do with you have to charge for everything that you provide. It's what it's dealing with directly is they've already accounted for the revenue from the hardware that they sold, and if they add something to it, there's a question about whether that's the accounting issue related to it. So I don't think that it I don't really care, but it has to have something to do with
the fact that they're on the line with the SEC over the options scandal, and that they don't maybe they just want to bend over backwards.
Well, I just know that we've dealt with Apple on a couple of other things that are related to this. I don't want to get too much into them, but the Sarbox stuff is real. Apple is really, really concerned and careful about that. Probably overly concerned, but obviously in the current situation, I think it's pretty.
That's pretty.
Pretty you might
reasonable.
Want to tell people what that means.
Sarbanes-Oxley, sometimes known as SOX.
Yeah.
It's the U.S. accounting rules that were adopted after the Enron scandal. And, we talked a little bit about it on Twit on Sunday. The consensus is it's one of the reasons why you see no IPOs in the U.S. Because people are terrified. They can't comply with Sarbanes-Oxley. And frankly, it's taking a lot of the economic wind out of the sails of the U.S.
7% of the market in New York City's financial district allegedly going offshore because of it.
Yeah. Of course, there's some rumor that the new Congress might do something about it, so we'll see. Now, Apple will charge, according to rumors, for boot camp if you don't buy Leopard. According to some folks, Apple will charge $30 if you want to keep using boot camp without upgrading to Leopard. It will be free in Leopard. This is according to Mac Scoop. Which isn't exactly what is that one that you listen that you subscribe to, Merlin?
The Mac. Is this going to be an opportunity for you to make fun of the Macalope?
Yeah,
I'm in talks to do an interview with the Macalope, so don't get any bad blood going there.
Is the Macalope pretty tough to get an interview with?
We had to find the right level of sophistication to be able to mask the Mechalope's voice. But yeah, we're going to be doing that for
the Mechalope. Now, isn't it true that the Mechalope hangs out with the Keebler elves near the Pot of Gold?
I think so. And the Pot of Gold is Alex's faux portfolio. So Max Scoop claims to have inside information that $29.99 for boot camp. I think that's fair. That's a very reasonable price. And it will be in Leopard. And don't you think? Now, here's an interesting. Don't you think everybody, people do complain about $129 every couple of years or even every year to upgrade OS 10, but I think Leopard's going to be worth $129.
They're all worth it. I mean, I have to say, I mean, I've upgraded.
Tiger. I upgrade each time too.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and usually when you look back on what the last one was, you know, it was great when it came out and,
you don't really want to be stuck with the last version of OS 10,
especially this one. I have to admit that this is, there's lots of great features in Tiger and everything else, but 10.4.8 is like the new 10.2.9. I mean, there's so many weird little things in it. I'm looking forward to moving on.
I just buy a new machine every year, and that's how I get my OS upgrade.
One way to do it.
Yep.
Jim Altshen, who is turning out to be the biggest friend Apple ever had at Microsoft. You know, he's the guy that Steve Jobs quoted. He was in charge of Windows Vista. Just recently left Microsoft. That was his plan. As soon as Vista came out, he was going to leave. Altshen said, if I didn't work at Microsoft, I'd be using a Mac. Now word comes out in 2003, Altshen proposed, well, I'll quote the email. He said, Altshen was very unhappy with all of the third-party MP3 players based on Microsoft software. I have to tell you, quote, I have to tell you my experience with our software and this device, the Creative Nomad Zen Extra, is really terrible. This is in 2003. Apple is just so far ahead. How can we get the ISVs to create something that is competitive with the iPod? I looked at the Dell system. That's not close either. Altshen apparently suggested Microsoft should partner with Apple to make an MP3 player.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think Apple should talk with Jobs right now. I think it should open up a dialogue for support of the iPod. Unless something changes, the iPod, this is again in 2003, will drive people away from Windows Media Player. Wow. Altshen was right. This came out, by the way, in an ongoing antitrust suit, Combs versus Microsoft. So this is this is an actual email he sent. And you guys have absolutely nothing to say.
Well, I mean, yes. We've said it before over and over and over. This, you know.
Well, you know what's funny about that? Well, if you're looking, trolling for opinions, I had a kind of funny experience at Macworld where, you know, Leo, we wanted to spend some time talking to independent developers, but occasionally we would go over to the big booths and want to talk to people at, you know, some of the larger companies, including those that are based in Redmond. And it was all we could do to find anybody who would even like point us to somebody who would eventually talk to us, who would get, you know, we did finally talk to people, but I think the part about something like that statement that's amazing is you realize that these large companies and places like Microsoft and Apple for that matter, they control their messages so carefully that, you know, it's I think when something like that comes out, that's kind of when you go, wow, okay. Okay, I guess I kind of understand why they want to be careful who they put in front of a mic.
Well, Altshen is a president there. I mean, he's a very high-ranking guy. Here's another great statistic. We just mentioned that Apple sold, 21.1 million iPods last quarter. According to Bloomberg, Microsoft sold hundreds of thousands of Zunes. Oh, that's got to hurt. That's got to hurt. There's a new currency measure. An Australian investment bank has developed a new indicator for tracking international currency values based on the Apple Nano, the 2-gig Nano. The economic principle it's underlying this is that $1 should buy the same quantity of goods across all countries. And it's most expensive in Brazil. A Nano in Brazil costs $327.71. That's the top of the index. Canada is the cheapest place at $144.20. In the United States, it's $149. In Australia, it's $172. So I think that's good. The Nano index.
I think we should. I think I'd like to get some virtual stock in that.
I'm not sure what it means.
I got four nanos in that.
I was thinking of proposing something kind of slightly similar to that, which would be a measure of cost called the Alex. And that would be the $700 price point for software that Alex spends. And so we could measure based on how many parts of,
so
of an
like
Alex.
So 0.5 Alexes or...
Yeah, like most of the stuff I get is like a what would it be like a deca Alex. It would be like a twelfth of an Alex.
I like it. That's good.
Yes. Fine.
Fine. We're making fun of him.
Fine. You guys just beat up on me today.
I'm kind of liking the fact that you're here this show, Alex, because I would probably be taking the brunt of all this, and you're getting some of it back. It's kind of fun.
France and Germany are challenging Apple once again to dump iTunes DRM. They're asking Apple to allow the protected songs purchased from the iTunes store to be played on other music players. Besides the iPod, remember that Norway tried to do this. France, of course, has been trying to do it for a while. Germany's Verbrauchszentren.
You know we're going to get a lot of posts over
there. I think I've got it now. Verbrauchszentren. I don't know what it means. And then the French UFC que choisir. There's such a difference between German and French. And Verbrauchens are trying. By now, everybody who owns a digital music player is aware, of course, of the problems trying to get iPod songs on other players and vice versa. What do you think? Is there any chance? I mean, France had to back down when Apple said, okay, we'll just leave.
Well, and I think that's still going to come up. I think that I'm sure that France and Germany are a big market, but they're probably still 5% of the overall.
Norway has given Apple
iTunes
until September to change its policies. If it's France, Germany, and Norway, it starts to put pressure on, right?
I guess my whole thing is if it's all of Europe, it's still less than. It's still not. I don't think it's worth Apple changing its
because they make so
process.
Much. They make so much.
They make so much money in the U.S. and Canada and the U.K. Which I don't think the UK is going to go anywhere at the moment. But, I mean, if it's the rest of Europe, I mean, I just don't think that it's a market big enough to push Apple to change what it's doing in the United States.
So Apple's just going to say, up you for Brotschuds and Tallinn?
Well, I think that they'll back down
again. We should boycott them people. We'll do freedom fries and sweet kraut in retaliation.
Sweet kraut. Okay, let's see. I think I've gone through the list. Anybody have anything else that you wanted to mention? Or should we go right to our picks?
Let's go to the picks.
Let's go to the picks. And since Alex Lindsay is so anxious,
I got a good one.
To go, and is it one? How many units of Alex's Dalek's dollars?
I don't know. All right. I think it's a million. I think it's a million.
You start,
1 millionth of an hour.
You
Alex.
Start, and we will figure it out. Go ahead.
All right. So my pick for the week, and I just like to point out that it's less than Alex Merlin. it is a Tinker Tool.
Tinker Tool. I love Tinker Tool.
Oh, I like Tinker Tool.
And I have
it's free or
free,
cheap, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said I think it's a 1 million. Yeah. It's like the download cost or whatever. So anyway, Tinker Tool is it's an all purpose app that has lots of little things that you can do with your interface. And I have to admit I only know how to do one thing with Tinker Tool. This was it was actually pointed out to me. So it was one of our listeners, I was complaining about the dock. And Travis Tharp sent me an email saying that this is how you fix it. And what you can do with Tinker Tool is you can actually tell the dock to come out from the top. And so instead of being from the side or the bottom or you can set it so that the dock is on the top. And then when you set it to hiding, you literally have to roll your mouse over about 3 pixels or the dock won't come out. And you have to let it like
wow. You've been
roll
looking
it
for
over
this for a while.
It.
This is great.
I have.
That's
I've
great.
Been complaining about it. It's been and so I was complaining and this was pointed out to me, and it works like a charm. You know, and when you get used to it, it is a little bit hard now to get the dock to come out. But I'm slowly getting good at that. I'm so happy, especially when I'm doing production, to not have the dock. And it's not jumping out at me while I'm using Photoshop or Final Cut Pro or Shake or whatever. So that's the only reason that I really downloaded this. I haven't really played with all the other features, but it is worth every penny that you'll pay for it.
Which is just free.
Just to hide the dock up above. And then if you want to change it, you can change it some other time. But especially when I'm doing production, and there's just so many times, I think it's a huge oversight of Apple's to not allow us to turn the dock off. This is as close as you're going to get.
That's excellent. It's just really an interface, a tinkerer, and
yep.
Highly recommended. I've always liked a Tinker Tool. All right. A free one from Alex. Wow. The world is shaking and shivering. Scott Bourne, you want to make a pick, software pick today?
Well, mine ain't going to be free.
Uh-oh.
Mine is almost an Alex. And it's not software, it's hardware. But after Macworld, I wandered down to Anaheim, California for the NAMM show, the North American Music Merchant Show. And there's quite a lot of podcasting stuff represented this year. There's a company called SC Electronics that makes really nice stuff. And they make a new microphone that, well, I have to admit,
You like it better than the Heil?
I was lusting for this. And here's the really interesting thing. It is a USB microphone.
Oh, no, really?
And.
Yes.
And it's also a traditional XLR balanced microphone.
Oh, interesting.
So you have dual inputs. You can run it as a USB mic, or if you're in a traditional studio environment, you've got fan and power available, you can run the balanced XLR connector out of it at the same time. And just to top it all off, they've got the little port to plug your headphone in, like our lovely Rode podcasters that we all use. The difference being you can actually mix the signal between the DAW that you're recording into and what's coming out of the mic. Nobody else is doing that yet.
I don't understand. Okay,
so like right now, if you have a Rode Podcaster mic, a lot of the complaints about USB mics is that you can't monitor what's going into the mic without some latency problems.
Oh, yeah, because of the delay converting bits to the analog to bits.
Yeah, so Rode put a headphone jack on the mic so you can actually listen to yourself coming out of the mic. The problem is
slight echo or slight delay, yeah.
Well, what happens now, though, is like for when we're using Skype, for instance, if you monitor just the mic, you hear yourself, but you don't hear everybody else.
Right.
So this little device would allow you to mix so you could hear everybody else plus yourself coming without any latency.
I see.
And it's a big, huge, large diaphragm side address condenser mic, so your voice sounds sort of like Leo's, even if you're a pipsqueak. And, it's coming out this week. They were showing it off at the NAMM show. I kind of oogled it and I caressed it, and I'll be having one soon.
Fantabulous. How much?
It's about $5.99.
So it's a lot for a podcaster, but
it is. But if you're a podcaster that has aspirations of voiceover work, or you want to try to move up to a real professional level, it's obviously going to have limited appeal. But it's less than an Alex.
it's 85% of an Alex.
And the just in case anybody wants to know which mic this is, it's the SE Electronics USB 2200A.
Tasty.
Yum, yum. I just have a little app. It's not really fancy. And it's actually, we were talking about this on Net at Night on Sunday night. And and I know you know about it, and you mock it. In fact, Merlin, man, Twitter.
I'm not mocking. It's affectionate.
It's from your friends.
I love my friends at Obvious.
Obvious. They do audio. And audio has that little bird, and I guess that's where Twitter comes from. It's kind of it's one of those things I'll probably stop doing after a while. But there's something kind of compelling about it. I wish you were on it, because it's like you know what your friends are up to.
I'm going to try. You've talked me into it.
All Twitter does is just ask you what you're doing. It's like the kids. And what you doing right now? What you doing right now? And you don't have to do it all the time. But whenever you feel like it, you put in what you're doing right now. And you can follow people, unless they make it. You make it private. You can make it private so only your friends can see what you're doing. But you could follow people. You can add them to your friends. So it kind of has this kind of social networking thing. So you have certain friends that you follow. To me, it's just a way of spying on Justina Zarek, actually, because she's on it. And I just like to know what Justine's doing all the time.
She's out doing parkour.
She's instant messaging, probably.
Right now,
she's the most wired person I've ever met.
Remember when we were doing Mac Break Weekly at 21st Amendment, her trio kept going off. Well, that's what that's what it was. It was Twitter and Groover. So anyway, there is now just came out from Icon Factory a little application called Twitterific that really makes Twitter very easy on the Mac. It's a beautiful little application. It has a little T in the menu that you can click to open the interface. So you can type in, like I'll type right now, explaining Twitter to the dumbbells on Mac Break Weekly. And then I hit return. And then that goes to all the people who are watching me or following me. They can see what I'm doing. And Twitterific is just kind of, it's got a transparency. It's very, it's kind of it looks like a bezel, one of those quicksilver bezel things. It's very pretty. So anyway, I just like it. It's free. It's from Icon Factory. And I just want everybody I know to be on Twitter so I can always know what you're doing at all times.
Is it easy to find your name if we want to Twitter you?
I believe I am Leo Laporte.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And how do you spell that?
And it's public, so you can follow along. And I try to entertain the troops while I'm typing things. So
what if I were to sign up as Merlin Mann?
That, and then there's say, nothing to keep you from doing that.
I'm now over at Playboy.com.
I wish my tastes were that mundane. You should go ahead and do that. You should do that, Scott. I would love to follow what I'm doing remotely.
Well, I have to say Condoleezza Rice is on Twitter. And she is just a hoot.
Still ruining America.
I think she is just... Well, let me see what Condi's up to right now, because she's not one of my friends, but I'm going to add her to my, I'm going to add her to my friend list. And I'm just, let me,
that's not very diplomatic of you.
Well... She's the Secretary of State. I don't want to stalk her or anything like that. But let me. It's just. Let's see. How do we get Condi? How do I find Condi?
Right, can you
C O N D I? That's how you spell it, right? Oh, here she is, Condi. Let's see what she's been up to lately. Okay. Well, I thought Laura and I were best friends forever, and then she quotes a Slate article. Here's one or an earlier one. Oh my God! Accidental decapitation. Too funny. My Fox guy, it's all political. You have to kind of, if you follow the news, you'll laugh. My Fox guys, I love every single one of them. LOL, GW likes fruitcake. GW just discovered ain't nothing but a G thing because Abramoff forgot his Zune in the Oval Office. Now he won't shut about it. So it's kind of like a teenage girl's MySpace based on Condoleezza Rice. Oh my God, Kofi texted me. What do I do? Here's one. Stuck in traffic on Pennsylvania Avenue, and guess who pulls up next to me? Colin and his Avalanche. Awkward.
Can I just say that you all have a lot more free time than I do?
Anyway, you can become, I'm gonna add her, she's gonna become my friend, and now when Condi posts anything, I'll have her on my Twitter, and Twitterific makes it very easy.
Well, tune in to find out what Merlin Mann's doing tomorrow.
Are you going to be Merlin? I think you could have a lot of fun as a faux Merlin.
I'm thinking of being Merlin Mann.
The Merlin at Avenue.
Shopping for electronic chia pets while scouring Playboy.com.
That's going to be fun. And by the way.
Now, by the way,
Scott, just for you, when you go to iconfactory.com, they also have a beautiful Apple iPhone icon that you could put on your. You could put on your disc or whatever. And that way. It'll make you feel like you almost have it in your hands.
Well, I've received now something along the lines of 400 different iPhone widget countdown things, so I can always have one more.
It's not a countdown; it's just an icon. So it just
okay. Well, that's fine too.
You can make your hard drive look at it. It's beautiful. The Icon Factory does beautiful icons.
I made a beautiful iPhone wallpaper for my big screens. You know,
so this could be your new hard drive icon.
The problem is I can now not see anything because everything looks like an iPhone.
You don't know what you got.
I converted all my icons to iPhones. So now when I click on things, it's just like random. It might be Word. It might be Keynote. Who knows?
Well, just in your honor, I've made my hard drive look like an iPhone now.
Thank you. That's cool.
Just for you.
I'm going to get that soon.
And finally, for our picks, Merlin Mann.
Well, I usually have a little piece of shareware, freeware to offer. I'm going to give a tip to something that was just a vexing problem for me that has finally been fixed. I posted this on 43 Folders today, but I don't know if you remember, for like the last 6 months, I've been complaining about this keychain problem that I had. Mm-hmm. It's been unbelievable, and apparently it happens to a fairly small number of people. But when you get this problem, it's really bad.
For those who refresh your memory, what's your problem?
Absolutely. So what happens is, so if any change ever happens to any of your applications, let's say you get a fresh copy of Transmit or a fresh copy of updated version of Speed Download, the very first thing that happens when you launch that is it's going to try and reauthorize with the keychain to say, hey, is it cool if I have access to all the keychain items that you've let me get to before? And you say, well, of course. Your Transmit. That's what I want you to do. But when you click to confirm this process, you can see this in the process in the what's it called? The application or the activity viewer. You can see this is one process called Security D that suddenly grabs all of the available RAM and basically locks up your computer in this horrible death grip until you actually force restart. You just can't do anything with the computer. And so, as you can imagine, this becomes...
That's somewhat of a problem.
It's problematic from a productivity standpoint.
Yes.
yes. And you think you got problems with, you know, your iPhone running outside apps. I'm just here to tell you, when you can't use your Mac anymore, it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And somebody called, I want to get the name right, Rosina, R-O-S-Y-N-A, who works at Unsanity, heard my plea, had the same problem, and instead of me just whining about it on the forums over at Apple.com, went out and found a fix for this. And so if you go to either unsanity.org or 43folders.com, you can see this fix, which is really just as simple as deleting the code equivalence database from your drive. And I got to tell you, this is one of those things, though. It's like it's changed my whole world. I can use all my applications again, and I feel like I'm a fully fledged Mac citizen again. So if anybody out there is in that small minority that, like me, is having those horrible hangups, I want to get the word out because of how much it's changed my life.
So Hacksies is the place to get it.
Yeah, if you go
is it
to
a Hacksy, or is it just that?
No, no, this is a straight up. It's a line that you run in the terminal.
Oh, okay.
And was that disappointing in terms of my usual bringing software?
It's not an application, but
it's not an application.
I'm going to throw in a quick
application. Personal problem, kind of.
Can I throw in a quick application as long as I'm here?
Yeah, go ahead.
High Priority. High Priority runs up in your menu,
yep.
And it gives you an easy way to see all of your iCal to dos, sorted either by priority or by date due. And you can access them, and you can click them off. You can go and make changes to them all without having to be in iCal. And it is, what's $600-$700? It's $6. So it's whatever portion of an Alex that is. And it's a really, it's a nice way to not get too wound up in going into iCal and getting caught up in all that stuff.
It's about high priority. 0.09.
Two for one. Thank you very much, Merlin Man.
I'm just so excited. I can use Transmit again. I can use OmniWeb, all these apps.
No, that would have driven me crazy. That's ridiculous.
It's the worst.
How long has this been going on?
Since September.
Wow.
Since September. Anytime, you know, you guys get this, right? You get the little pop-up and it goes confirm application change.
And I just click it. And
in the past,
away.
You just drove it. Imagine clicking that, having that become the spinning beach ball, and then you can literally do nothing with your computer until you do a hard restart.
So is it a permissions issue? What is
it? It appears to be that something got corrupted in this little database, and so that process gets confused and keeps spinning off into outer space because it's got some kind of corrupt piece of data that it's chewing on. And when you delete this database, it just rebuilds after you reboot, and the problem goes away.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. That is fantastic. That is one of the best free files I have ever heard. Thank you.
It's time for some more Theraflu for Leo.
It's starting to kick in right about now. I think we're done. Are we done?
We're done.
All right. That's another Mac break. We'll see you next week. I won't be here. I'll be doing Regis and Kelly instead of talking to you schmucks.
Say hi to Kelly for me. Ask her if she has any fantasies that involve rich, old, balding fat guys. Just in case. It could happen.
You should do that, Leo. You should really literally do that.
It's a live show. You can do anything, really.
Kelly, quick question.